Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder, and on today's show, we will be talking with Damian Dowdy and Susan Myrick, both of the Civitas Institute, about Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, one of our senators, Senator Tom Tillis' SUCCEED Act, which is a legislative replacement for DACA, which was an Obama-era executive order. This would be a legislative replacement for what to do with all of those so-called dreamers, and they will be talking about questions that Demi raised in an article on ncivitas.org that have now been addressed by Senator Tillis' communications director. And, well, you'll just have to listen to that segment to see how well and adequately you think they have been addressed. But before we get to that, I want to talk about subscribing to the show. If you're not already subscribed to the show, you are missing out on the easiest way to get the show to your device, whether it's your phone, your tablet, or anything in between. And to do that, just go where you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts on an Apple product, or you're using Podcast Addict or some other app on an Android. You have a lot of options over there. You can go to any of those apps and search What Matters in North Carolina, subscribe, and you will get the show automatically to your device. Now, that lets you hear from us, but we want to hear from you, and the way to do that is on social media. You can do that on Facebook and Twitter by searching What Matters NC, like our page, follow us along with us on Twitter, and you will hear from us over there. But if you want to also hear other episodes of the show, you can do that on freedomactionnetwork.com, and you can listen to older episodes of What Matters in North Carolina or other shows on the network, including the Frieda Bruce Show and the NC Gundad Show. Now, without further ado, we will talk with Susan Myrick and Demi Dowdy. Thank you for joining us on the show today, Susan and Demi.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
So today we are getting an update on Senator Tom Tillis's legislation, the SUCCEED Act, correct?
That's right. So you and I talked a little bit about it last week. I wrote a piece for ncivitas.org, and at the end of that piece, I posed a lot of questions that remain unanswered about the bill. And there are a lot of details around the immigration issue that I'm not very familiar with. And so I think it's great that we have Susan here, who's much more of an expert on illegal immigration than I am. And we can kind of talk about some of these questions and that the fact that these questions remain, even after we did receive a response from Senator Tillis' office to some of these questions. So we're going to walk through a couple of those.
So the response to your questions didn't take care of all your concerns, and now we can just kind of be done, buttoned up, and put it to bed?
Yeah, I wish that were the case, but it not quite.
No, it sounded to me like he was answering a question just to make you go away.
Right. Right.
That's what it sounded like to me. And I'm not an expert on this, but maybe I'm more skeptical than most. When somebody says that, oh, we've got this covered and DHS is going to vet,
sure.
It scares me to death.
It scares me.
I think that my daughter Lindley does that too, answering a question just to make me go away. I'll go, Lindley, do you need a new diaper? She goes, no.
She's looking at me with early.
That no.
Yeah, so it's very hard to trust the government,
it
period,
is.
Right?
It is.
But these, I feel like these are some very valid, very good questions to ask about what exactly are the ramifications of what's in this bill and what will that look like played out. So with all of these nuances, let's talk about some of the questions that I asked that I did receive responses to, but the questions remain. So one thing I did ask about is I asked about public benefits. So I asked, you know, what would happen to these immigrants and these children of immigrants who are really immigrants themselves who remain, whether or not they go on this pathway to citizenship, to naturalization, what will happen to them in the meantime? Surely they receive some kind of public help.
And
benefits.
And Tillis's communications director,
yes,
indicated that, oh, no, that's not the way it was going to be.
Yeah, so his response was, your post mentions they'll be able to take advantage of public benefits like public education. However, they've already benefited from public education and other benefits when they didn't have any form of legal status, which actually is the concern, right?
Right.
So
right.
That does nothing to alleviate concerns that would remain. He says the SUCCEED Act also bars applicants from becoming a public charge, parentheses, dependent on the government for subsistence. They would lose their legal status if they do become a public charge. Additionally, the SUCCEED Act makes them ineligible for federal public benefits, including American Opportunity Tax Credit, Earned Income Tax Credit, Health Coverage Tax Credit, Social Security, Medicare, federal state unemployment benefits. It's also important, he says, it's also important to note that applicants will be required to pay off any tax liabilities before they become eligible for any form of legal status. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
But
and I think you were actually in your, and correct me if I'm wrong, in your article, you were talking about something other than welfare.
Yes,
perhaps.
Absolutely.
You were talking about public education.
I think most understand you can't apply for welfare if you don't have
right.
legal status.
Right.
So that is not the concern. The concern is that obviously these individuals will receive public benefits such as public education. Of course, that's not going to change. But that is a significant amount of taxpayer dollars paying for public education for individuals who are not citizens.
Right, and haven't been paying into the... like everybody else has.
That's right. That's right. So I don't think that's very fair. I think that, you know, he kind of glossed right over that concern of mine.
He switched the conversation around, and they do that all the time. I find.
So, and I'm sure someone who knows this issue even better than I can think of some other public benefits that they would receive as well that I didn't even mention by name.
Well, we've seen that in North Carolina. We've seen it around the nation, really, where they're giving illegal aliens in-state tuition status.
Right. That's right.
And they're not even citizens.
That's right.
So that's perhaps yep. one
very concerning
example.
And, you know, I will also say that I know it is, you know, obviously an individual who is not a citizen can not apply for welfare and such, but it does happen.
Oh, sure.
It does happen all the time.
Because they use other people's Social Security numbers.
Yes. And, it you know, these things fall through the cracks all the time. So,
which brings us to the vetting process.
That's right. Exactly. So when you tell me that in response to my question of how will the vetting process work, that another government association is going to handle it and it'll be fine, I don't feel a lot better about that.
I laugh, but it's not funny.
It's funny, but it's not, Susan.
You know, whenever they say they're going to vet people, number one, I don't believe it. And number two, if mm-hmm. they attempt to, they're going to change the rules as they go
right.
to make it easier for
right.
them. It's a government bureaucracy.
Sure.
That's what they do.
Yes. So when I asked in my article, how will this vetting process work for these individuals? And Senator Tillis's communications director responded, it would be administered by DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. Applicants must pass a thorough criminal background check, which extends to information obtained from Interpol or the country of origin to screen for individuals with a criminal past or gang affiliation.
Isn't that a British
organization? Yeah, it is British, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they taking the lead on vetting people
Maybe it's
now?
Beyond... the UK.
Maybe so.
You know, unfortunately, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You know, that sounds good in theory, right? What do you think?
Again, it takes us down that road, a criminal background check.
Mm-hmm.
The country of origin, do they even have records? Do they, you know, that is a very good possibility that they don't.
Right.
Or they don't have... the correct name. We've been given a different mm-hmm. name than they mm-hmm. used in the country before or the state where they worked before. We find that all the time. Mm-hmm. I find it in elections records where mm-hmm. their names are turned around
yeah.
And used differently each time. So, you know, I just vetting individuals from another country using other countries' data mm-hmm. is almost impossible, I think.
Right. And, you know, background checks can vary in their depth. And so, you know, one has to wonder what exactly does that background check entail? I mean, are they just looking for felonies?
Right. Well, now you take us to the next step.
Right.
In this country, that's what they're going to depend on.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what did he tell you, that
yes.
anybody that had a felony would be disqualified?
Yes. So I said.
Convicted of a felony.
That's right. And so I said. I posed the question, what exactly does a clean criminal record mean? Because only those with clean criminal records can proceed down the path to naturalization via the SUCCEED Act. And his response to that question was that convictions for felonies, significant misdemeanors, or convictions for less serious misdemeanors resulting in imprisonment of more than 90 days are automatic disqualifiers. Significant misdemeanors include domestic violence, sexual abuse, exploitation, including conduct involving minors, burglary, unlawful possession of a firearm, drug distribution, and driving under the influence.
I hope all of that is true.
I hope that seems extensive.
It does, but unfortunately, I've watched a few committee meetings where they're talking about letting illegal aliens out of jail, of United States jail, with the same so-called misdemeanors, drug abuse, DUIs, and domestic violence. So will that change? We'll see, I guess.
So one felony that I know you are an expert on is voting illegally.
Illegally registering to vote.
Right.
And his answer to you there was that if they were convicted of voting illegally or registering to vote, then that would disqualify them too.
And that happens all the time, right?
Right. And you're right. And they do not ever, very, very seldom, go after election fraud.
Right.
And this is, mind you, election fraud. Mm-hmm. If you're not a citizen and you register to vote, that's a felony.
That's right.
But they, you know, they're not going to take that to court. So that brings up, you know, these people that have already committed illegal acts. Now they're registering to vote or voting. And I think from what I'm reading, they're just going to gloss over that.
Right.
It would be nice to know if they did gloss over it. I would love to have a list of all the people that find. And perhaps that'll happen down the road somewhere if they don't cover up the list.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it, but hopefully.
No.
So, and the final question I did receive a response to, I guess it's not really a response in my opinion. So. Yeah. Let me read that out loud. So I posed the question, what does happen to those who refuse to take part in the naturalization process?
And there will be a lot of them that don't want to be American citizens.
And even Senator Tillis's staffer did admit that. That's the very last thing he said. He said if they don't apply for status, they would not have legal status in the United States. He's stating the obvious, I think. In regards to those who are already going through the legalization process, they can choose whether or not to apply for naturalization, assuming they meet all of these obligations. In all likelihood, a large number will choose to maintain lawful permanent status and not apply for naturalization. That sounds like a non-answer to me.
It is a non-answer. They're not telling you what will happen to those people. It sounds like to me they're going to be allowed to remain here lawfully.
So then, of course, my follow-up question, Susan, is why would you apply for this naturalization process, especially considering all the hoops that, you know, there are some very good hoops that people need to jump through to get on this path.
Do you mind going through those? I think there's a 15-year there's a 15-year window here. It's going to take them from the time they apply.
That's right.
Or at step up.
That's right.
To the time they become citizens. So
yeah,
what
there are
happens
those
in that 15
three different
years?
Phases, right. And they have to prove that they haven't committed a felony or been convicted of a felony,
right.
Or a serious misdemeanor, as has been clarified. And then they also can choose one of three paths after that, and that includes maintaining employment in the United States for a couple years, or earning a degree. Or joining the military, enlisting, and serving for, I don't remember the time frame. I think it's 2 years. So
3 years.
3 years. 3 years. Okay, thanks. So, you know, they can choose one of these paths, and then they have another five-year period where, you know, they have to maintain all of these things until they can be naturalized.
And to begin the process, somehow we have to find proof that they came here before the age of 16.
That's right. So
and that they came here before 2012.
That's right.
How are we going to ever really know that?
Yeah, and that's another excellent question. You know, how do we determine those prerequisites? right? And so,
so I see a new bureaucracy, even though they say it's coming, going to go through DHS or DHHS. Mm-hmm. I see a whole new level of bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and on one hand, it's disconcerting for there to be more government bureaucracy. But if ever there was a need for it, it's oversight of this process, you know, and there do not seem to be the assurances in place in this legislation to guarantee that.
I agree.
Yeah, that's concerning. And the other thing, too, that I think you alluded to is that as this bill moves forward, you know, and it goes through committee and you see everything that gets changed, I mean, all of this, all of these guardrails can go away, too.
Absolutely. And the last thing I think you talked about was the possibility of these new citizens bringing in their family afterwards.
Right.
Chain migration.
Yes.
Is what they call it.
That's right. Yes. So chain migration is absolutely concerning, and would be would happen as a result of this pathway. And so after raising that concern, this staff member for Senator Tillis said that the SUCCEED Act bars chain migration during the legalization process, which I never claimed that it would happen right. during the process.
They have to be citizens, right?
Right. Which takes a minimum of 15 years. Even once undocumented children eventually become naturalized, chain migration for illegal relatives would require those relatives to return to their country of origin for a period of 3 to 10 years for admission back to the United States, assuming they meet requirements for reentry. So, yeah. How does that sound?
That doesn't make me feel good either, does it? Yeah.
No. I think it sounds exactly like what I said was concerning.
I think this is amnesty, and I doubt very seriously it's going to look anything like what they're talking about right now.
What do you think is the most concerning part of this piece of legislation?
Just there will be no control. I don't see how they can vet and control this. I do believe the vetting, there's no way to vet individuals coming from other countries.
Right.
I don't believe you can.
Right.
And then even here with databases the way they are, I think it's going to be almost impossible, and then they're going to change and make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in the past. We know what
right.
we know what government bureaucracies do, and it becomes almost impossible to detect because there'll be layer after layer on top of it.
Right.
And we'll all just be shrugging our shoulders and watching it happen.
Yeah.
Like we do with so many other government bureaucracies.
I agree, and I think
what is the most concerning part to you?
To me, there seems to be no motivation for these individuals to get on this 15-year pathway to naturalization. If nothing, there will be no consequence for them remaining as they are.
I think perhaps everybody saw it, but I think it was after this was brought forward and the DACA activists who are trained by the left in America,
mm-hmm.
There was a group at a Nancy Pelosi press conference.
Oh yeah.
And I think what they did was tell the truth. And I don't think Nancy Pelosi thought that was going to happen.
Right.
Because they were angry.
Right.
That they were only talking about DACA, and they were demanding that the 11 million
mm-hmm.
need to come through this process.
Right.
Not
You're right.
this probably, just
yeah.
just plain old amnesty. But I think the truth is going to come out. I think we saw a little bit of it there, and I think we're going to see a lot of it in the next few months.
I think you're right. Matt, you have any final thoughts?
I mean, y'all really went into it there. And it is concerning. I see it as possibly a slippery slope, where you're talking about if this is just for the DACA, what about everyone else? And I see them saying, they could hold it up and say, this program is doing so well for this small group, relatively small group compared to the number of illegal immigrants. So let's make it open for everyone. And that's something that's going to come down the line.
I think that would be uncontrollable. I don't think this is controllable mm-hmm. just for DACA.
Right.
But the rest, it would be uncontrollable.
Oh, yeah. And the vetting is another issue entirely. I mean, people tend to think other countries are like America. They tend to think that, I mean, everything you do, I have a file at my in my house and a fire safe with official documents of documenting everything.
Right. You know, and we know, in America, we do a decent job, though not, of knowing who the criminals are and knowing what names they have committed crimes under before, also known as.
Right, and sharing information right. among federal to state level, but interstate, mm-hmm. in county to county. I mean, we do a much better job than other places in the world, and people think it's as easy as going, okay, Joe Bob, here's his name, what's his background?
Right.
And it's not that simple.
Right.
You know who I think does the best job? Australia.
Oh, really?
Are you familiar?
I'm not.
So they, if you get to the country and you're in their country, Border Patrol will turn you right back around. And there is a tiny island off the coast of Australia where you have to go through the naturalization process for a couple of years before you can re-enter the country.
You stay on that island?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. They isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I think that's the smart way
but
to go.
But now what are they doing with the refugees now? That's not what they're doing with refugees.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's a good question.
It'll be turned upside down.
In theory, it
in
sounds great,
while.
Though. Yeah. It sounds better yeah. than here.
We couldn't yeah. get away with that here, though. No. We really couldn't.
Oh, of course not.
It no. would be...
They're not I mean, surrounded by other countries. They're surrounded by water.
So. Yeah, true. Well, there would just be... I was saying there would just be screams from people about internment camps and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, putting people in these separate areas. I mean, it would be politically unpalatable to do that kind of thing here.
Well
thank y'all for coming on.
Thanks,
Matt.
Thank you to Susan and Demi for coming on the show. Thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in for another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. Remember, subscribe, follow along on social media, and we will catch you next time.